To Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Pastor Tomlinson will be leading the Searching the Scriptures class at 3:30 this afternoon to answer any questions that you might have, and those answers will come from the Bible. We are pleased to say that the missionaries to the people of Papua New Guinea, David and Denise Rhodes, are with us today, and will be speaking at the 5 o'clock service this afternoon. And they'll be sharing, we believe, what God is doing in the area there of the South Pacific. We look forward to hearing that report. Please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled this afternoon and the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled this coming week and next Sunday. There will be a deacons meeting today at 2:30 this afternoon. Our scripture reading for today, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song, I will praise him. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 27, I Sing the Mighty Power of God. Let us continue our worship now with hymn number 39, This Is My Father's World. Will you please stand now as we sing hymn number 388, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Please remain standing for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come again to open the doors of Bethel Baptist Church here in Morgan Hill, California. After a successful and wonderful experience of 25 years. And now we start again afresh because we have a God who leads us, a God who is faithful, a God who has commanded us to preach until He comes. Thank you, Lord, that the ministry of the church doesn't end until you come. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. And so as a church body, we have some of our members who have graduated, and we have received the news this week that Betty Tarp, our wonderful lady, our remarkable smiling lady in which home I spend time and drinking tea and remembering the stories of Morgan Hill as it was 50, 60 years ago. So Father, thank you that she graduated from this church and now is in the great church of heaven, sitting with other saints in the presence of the living God. Our heart goes with Terry Tosti and her brother, as they're going to miss Mom, I'm very sure. But Father, thank you that she knew you and she gave us a living example of what a Christian should be. Thank you, Lord, for giving us answer to prayer as we visit with Loretta. And she's also ready to be in the presence of God after 4 years intense care with the cancer. We pray for the family that you strengthen their last moments of her life. We praise your name also for Dana Noriel as she is in recovery from the accident. Thank you, Lord, that you work things out in a miracle way. We pray for Ann Peretto, for Jerry West, who is ill and now perhaps back to America. We pray. He's in Costa Rica, but now back to America in an emergency. We pray, Lord, that the doctors may find exactly what to do with him. We thank you for our brother Donald McDowell and our wonderful Dr. McCormack. They give him a strength and a good mind to think in you and to work with you. Now, Lord, we have not only the ministry of the church here, but we have the ministry of the church through the airwaves. Thank you, Lord, that you trained me before into radio. So we are in living radio at this moment. We are in the internet alive the whole day. So thank you, Father, for that. We pray for those who listen that they may understand that there is a God, a powerful God who cannot be avoided and we need to deal with. Thank you for our missionaries, the living presence of our life. Lord, our first missionary of our church was Brother Eckhart to Papua New Guinea. And when he retired, my heart became heavy until our brother Rhodes came in and offered the service, the opportunity for the church to be in Papua again. Oh, we knew the roads and the up and downs of the hills of Papua New Guinea through the pictures of our brother Eckhart. And my heart was with Papua New Guinea, and you knew it, and you brought Brother Rhodes and his family. And I'm glad that he's here and that he's going to report to us tonight of the wonders of God in his life and in the life of Papua New Guinea. Thank you, Lord, for Fred and Carol Lewis, Carol and Ruth Knott, Eusebio and Maritza Perez, Giovanni and Barbara Vendano, Martha Poretti, Dante and Maruja Rabines, Jose and Diane Avila, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, the Christian Athletic Association, and Daniel and Miriam Lacey, and Daniel as he finished the race today in Monterrey and finished the entire season as he is the chaplain in the area, that he may say words that trigger the mind of those racers who the only thing they have in mind is to win. But also they know that in the next curve they can die. And so, Father, bless Daniel as he talked to them and deal with them. Thank you, Father, for praising your name. Thank you, Father, for being able to do the ministry, knowing that you not only empower us to do, but also you enable us to do the ministry. So thank you for the provision. Bless the offering and bless the giver. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Choir, will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Esther. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, turn to page 601. We will be reading Esther chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Esther chapter 7, all of the verses. Esther So the king and Haman came to banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, What is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed, even to the half of the kingdom. Then Esther the queen answered and said, If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, Who is he, and where is he, that durst presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the palace of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, Will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, Behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman hath made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, Hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we come to you in prayer. Thank you that you hear us because of the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you sent, even to death on the cross. We thank you for revealing in the scriptures that you are sovereign in history to accomplish your purposes. We thank you that you have been merciful to your people, and we rejoice in your work as we look at the book of Esther and realize, Father, how greatly we have personally benefited from these historical events, and that the promised Savior did come in the flesh to give us life. We love you, Lord, and we will praise you forever. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him as he comes to tell of your hand in history, that we may be blessed with understanding and know that nobody or nothing escapes your notice. Bless us and those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, that we may grow in the knowledge of who you are and what you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And mention to you that we are very close to the end. One more sermon and we will conclude the book of Esther, and each time I come to the end, it's like coming to the end of a road where you feel sad about it. We have been enjoying the presence of God in a mighty way in the book of Esther, and I hope you do as well today. In the book of Esther, we have no mentioning of God, hell, of heaven, no mentioning of anything that relates to God. But that's why I entitled this series, The Invisible Presence of God. And because of time, I don't go through the chapters again as I do always, but I mention some story background on the chapter 7 today that you need to know. On chapter 3 of the book of Esther, God was present by allowing Satan to show his colors. Remember what was chapter 3? Chapter 3 was this. Haman, a superior court officer, he planned to kill Mordecai because he is a Jew. Not only for his nationality that he's a Jew, but the Jewish people represent God. And he wants to exterminate anything that is of God. Like Hitler did at one time when I was young. They want to exterminate the Jewish people because they represent God. That was in the mind of Esther. When Mordecai in chapter 4 say, Esther, I talk to you. Remember? And he said, Esther, you know something? That fellow Haman, he's going to finish with everybody on the 13 days of the last month of the next year calendar. All the Jews will be executed. The king signed the decree without knowing. And the king doesn't know that you are a Jew. So now Esther, it's all in your court. Esther was a marvelous lady. A lady that teach us men how to be godly. She took it in. And she bought time. Look with me chapter 5 and verse 3. The king said unto her, what will thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? She had planned how to communicate with the king, and so she planned a banquet. And after she greeted the king properly, then the king said, what do you want? And many of us will jump right there and tell the king what is in our heart. But the king did it. She did it. She didn't. Look in verse 6. Again, the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine. This is another banquet. What is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. What is thy request? I think the king, who is the husband, he knows his wife. He said, what's in your mind? You know, when your wife comes with a nice dessert, chocolate all babbling to you, you say, what's in your mind? How much this will cost me? You know, and that's exactly what the king is saying. All right. The king knows that something is cooking. He doesn't know where and how, but he's a gentleman. He's an Iranian. Iranian men are extremely gentlemen. And he's trying to see if the king will open up. But she will not. She will wait for the right moment. Remember chapter 6? We had the anniversary and you forgot already about chapter 6. So I read chapter 6 verse 13 so that you remember the last moments in the kingdom. Haman was a guy who wanted to kill Mordecai, but the king, God, who is sovereign, put the king without sleeping. You know, the king can't sleep. So he said, bring me the old papers. Remember? And they brought the old papers. And they read in the old papers, this is not just happened, that Mordecai has saved his life. He said, what we have done for this fellow? He said, nothing. Oh, he said, bring somebody here. Who was in the court, remember? Haman. Haman, come here. And Haman went to the court thinking, he's going to honor me. And he asked the question in chapter 6, Haman, what can we do for a man who saved my life? And Haman thought it was about him. Remember? Look at verse 10. And then the king said to Haman, chapter 6, verse 10, make haste and take the apparels and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai. Can you imagine? Haman, the one who wanted to kill Mordecai, now had to go with Mordecai on the horse, proclaiming, this is the man the king honors, all around Shushan the palace, all around the city, just the wrong person. And as all men do when something goes wrong, they go and cry to their wife. All right? And so this man, but his wife knew the Bible. Remember I showed you that she knew Genesis chapter 12? And look at verse 13. And Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wife, Then said his wise men and Zeresh his wife unto him, if Mordecai be of a seed of a Jew, he is a believer, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him. And those words were not even over. Verse 14 said, and while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains, the assistants, and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. This is the final banquet, as you heard the scripture. And boy, Haman knew that something is cooking. Something is wrong. He's telling his wife, Mama, I need help. And she said, if you went against a child of God, you're a dead man. Now, she's an unbeliever. Even Satan knows God. You cannot go against God. Remember 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than the one is in the world. So nothing can go against you. So you never can get depressed because you are a victorious person all the way. And Haman, an unbeliever, knows. So now we go to this story. What I would like to do is to go through chapter 7 again together. See what the story said and then apply it to our life. And get a real application for our life so that we can get a real lesson from this lady whose name is so beautiful, Esther, which means a star. All right? Are you ready? Get your Bible and Esther chapter 7, because that's what we're going to be. All right? Esther chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. God breaks the silence. Look at here in chapter 7, verse 1. So the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen. Now, Westerners, you have to learn. You know, when you read the Bible, there's 2,000 years. This is 700 years before Christ. So you have 2,700 years of culture. Okay, here's what it is. She have her house, and the husband have his house. So now she makes a banquet with a big lunch room, you know, she had. And so the king comes. It's honor that his wife invite him to her house, and he's going to spend time over there eating with her. See, verse 1 says, so the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen. The king very happy, Haman, you know, she clean. You know, he knows something is going to be there. Verse 2, and the king said again unto Esther, this is the third time. The king smelled something really wrong with my wife. Maybe she was white in her face, panic. Her eyes turned. Who knows? But the king was motivated to ask the question. The king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? Shelah, what is your wish? What in the world do you want? That is the highest Hebrew word you can use to describe. You say it and I get it for you. Shelah. All right. What is your petition? Queen Esther. And that shall be granted unto thee. And what is thy request? You speak. The king broke the silence. I'm going to go a little deeper. God broke the silence. Put one hand in Esther and go with me to the book of Proverbs, which is on your right side of your Bible, to chapter 21 and verse 1. It is a little deeper than reading just Esther. It's reading behind verse 2. In Proverbs 21, verse 1, the Bible says, the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whatever he will. No government of this universe is in control of the universe. God is. And he turned the governments of this universe as he please. Even those who are in the hands of Satan, God has control about them. And so, on the 11th hour, when the Jew going to be annihilated, God put in the heart of the king and say, now you really ask her. And here is a banquet to celebrate his chief officer, the prime minister Haman, and him are there, and the king is there, and then God motivated again the king to ask Esther for the third time, you better spill the beans here. What is it? Where is it? So God breaks the silence. Now, when you read the Bible and you're an unbeliever, you think that the king broke the silence, but we believers know that God is above them because we believe what the Bible says. And in Proverbs 21:1 said, no king of this universe, no president of this universe is above God. He's under God. Whatever he does is just permissible in the hands of God. All right? God breaks the silence. Verse 3 and 4, go back to Esther with me in chapter 7. Verse 3 and 4, Esther sends the time is right. Look at verse 3 and verse 4 in Esther chapter 7. Then Esther, the queen, answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, very respectful, and it pleases the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. Boy, the king maybe raised his head when she say that. Let my life be granted me at my petition. The king, what I want to say is serious. I hope I save my life. What? He maybe pull out his glasses. What do you say? Now, listen to verse 4. You're talking about boldness and straightforward? For we are soul. I and my people to be destroyed. To be slain, to be perished, to be annihilated. But if we have been sold for bondmen, being a slave, I have held my tongue. If you will put me as a slave, I don't mind. That's the will of God. Although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Boy, she told the whole thing in a silver platter to the king. King, I think you don't know what happened. They're going to kill me. And they're going to kill my people. Esther sensed the time was right. You know, for all of us, if you move again, your Bible, passing the book of Proverbs to the book of Ecclesiastes, in chapter 3, you pass the book of Proverbs to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, you find in chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes a great counsel to your life. I have Ecclesiastes 3 in a 3x5 car, so I read it every day for my own counsel. Look at in verse 1 in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, there is a time. Now look with your eyes in verse 7 on the same chapter. In verse 7 said, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak. So for us Christians, you need to be wise. You need to know when to speak. You need to let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. There is nothing wrong to be silent at the time. Even though you can say something, this is not the right time. It will help you in your business, will help you in your relationship with people, will help you to know God's will in your life. And there is a time to speak. There is a time when you said, here it is. Here is what the problem is. So, go back to Esther chapter 7. Esther sends the time was right, and she told the king, whether she perish or not, she said, this is the 11th hour, there is no more room, I'm against the wall, and against this Haman, so I better tell him. Alright? Now, God opens the door. The king can take many directions. You know, at that time, he owns your life. And so he can say, kill Esther, she's crazy. But look at verse 5. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he? And where did he live, that fellow? I can really see the king tying his belt and say, now who is he and where he lives that durst presume in his, excuse me, and where he lives? You see, the situation is so tough. That Ahasuerus said, who is trying to, in his heart, to do so? Who has a heart like that?
I was talking to the police officer, and I told him that people do crime not because of circumstances, because of the heart. Sin does this. Sin produces evil all the time. You deal with people, and it's very dangerous because you never know what is in their heart, not in the circumstances. You carry a gun to protect you. I have one in my office also, because you never know. But that doesn't... The problem is the hearts of people. And so the king said, who has a heart like that? All right? So the kings opened the door. Now, Esther, who's going to do that? Now comes the value. These women need to be tough. Look at verse 6. Esther walks through the door. She don't go, well, let me tell you. No, look at what she said. The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. Haman was there. She's not talking behind his back. Haman is right there. And I tell you, she said, hey, you see this fellow? Hey, do you honor him? Yeah. Here is the fellow. Here is the wicked one. Haman represents Satan. My brother and my sister, the enemy of your soul and my soul is Satan. It's Satan. Don't give yourself a foot. Be on guard. So God opened the door. Esther walks through the door. And I call verse 7 to 10 the surprising sovereignty of God. At the 11th hour, when Haman thought to enjoy Mordecai, seeing Mordecai on the gallows and being himself the second in command and enjoy to kill all the Jewish people and eliminate the name of God in the empire, when he thought that he can do it, on the 11th hour, he forgot about God. It's just like all of us sometimes. You know, remember Moses? He knew, even though he was trained as an engineer, he was trained in the elite performance of the Egyptians, he knew he was the leader. And remember when he killed the man, what he did? He looked to the left, he looked to the right, he looked behind, he looked this, and he killed the man. He forgot to look up. And so God gave him 40 years in the desert, learning the territory. Learning the territory. It was not lost. People say, he lost 40 years. No, sir. To go to where he went, he had to know how to get up from Egypt. He learned the territory. Oh, God is so good. I tell you, even when we do foolish things, God is so good. Now let's read verse 7 to 10. You and I will say, yeah, look at this. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. You see, people of wisdom do not take decisions right away. Just wait. All right? I remember when I said to Raquel, I was 18. I want to marry you. She said, wait. I had to wait 7 years. But I married her. But she said, wait. That's wisdom. All right? And the king arising from the banquet of wine, in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make requests for his life to Esther the queen. For he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. That word evil means he's going to be punished. And so he's begging Esther, saying, well, soften the answers. He lost control of himself. Look at verse 8. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place at the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. I don't think he wanted to do intimate relationship with her. I think she was just out of control and begging and was on top of her. That looks very bad, don't we? If you open the door of your house, you see a man on top of your wife. All right? But that's what it is. And then, say the king, will he force the queen also before me in my house? Will he do intimate relationship in my own house? Is he crazy? He really, you know, when things go wrong, go wrong. All right? Now, the guy don't want to do that, but when things go wrong, I want to tell you, they really go wrong. Will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. You know, they put this like just to hang him, blind him. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, one of the officers, said before the king, behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, 7 stores high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good of the king, standeth in the house of Haman. And the king said, hand him thereon. And verse 10 says, so they hang Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. Finish. Israel is not saved yet. The decree has been signed for the 13th of the last. And the decree, remember, they cannot be removed. A law written in the Iranian Empire cannot be removed. The Jew are not saved, but the process of salvation starts already. All right, the king wake up. God's surprising sovereignty. Do you think that Haman ever thought that in his evil heart he can be caught? I don't think so. I don't think that when we do evil, we think we can be caught. All of us. I don't think. See, that's Satan technology. The super, they put you in your hard drive of your head, Satan, that you can do this and you never be found. You can do this and it's okay with you. Amazing. Amazing. It's amazing to see how God never fails. He's going to protect one person in the entire, Iranian Empire called Persia at that time. He's going to protect one person because that person belonged to him. It like used to be in the United States of America. You got an American passport, the embassy would protect you. I went to Nicaragua in the times of Carter. And I went to the embassy to protect me in case something happened. He said, well, we have some political decisions to make and we will not. You better get out here. Don't preach anymore. Go back to America. So I went to the Argentine embassy, which is my country of origin. And they were mad with the Nicaraguans. They said, yeah, we put 2 soldiers with you. And if they touch you, we start a war with them. You know? And they sent my wife to the airport to protect her. Because one night when you preach, the God is in power. The communists do not like it. And they grab you by the neck. I'm glad they are all short, so they cannot do anything. But you see, mankind cannot overcome God. Do you know it and believe it? So live peacefully. Live a life for God with great joy. So let me get to the principle. Three things I learned from chapter 7. I want to pass it to you. Number one is in 2 Corinthians in the New Testament in chapter 5 in verse 7. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 7 in the New Testament. You know, you start at Matthew's and you go through and you get to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Look at what the Bible said. For we walk by faith, not by sight. So the first thing I learned is we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't walk reading the newspaper and see, well, let's see how the dollar goes. Or let's see how the circumstances are. No, we are free from everything. In 42 years in America, we went from times of depressions and times high and depression and high. And I always have everything I want. I work 14, 16 hours a day, but that's okay. We have to work. God says so in Genesis 3, work in the radio, work in the church, work in another business, but it's okay. See, we work by faith. I know that if God said, I never saw my children, said David, asking for bread, if God said that, he's going to fulfill it in my life. And is going to fulfill it in your life, whatever your profession is. See, God take care of us, like he did to Esther. But you have to believe it. We walk by faith. Now remember where faith comes from. Not from intuition. The Pentecostal movement teach faith by intuition. Well, you have to believe. No, no. Remember what the Bible says? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing? Yeah. So you read it. You say, that's good. I believe. That's it. That's it. You read it. You believe it. You will read things incredible. Things you can really you read. You know, people read magazines to get excited. I worked in one office one time, and one guy was, the Playboy magazine star in what, year 62, 63 or whatever, was the year 68. I was in the Navy, in a submarine. And the guy has, under his drawing, this magazine. Oh, it's a good magazine. Tell me what it is. All these women knew it. And I said, well, did I excite you? He said, yeah. I said, what about your wife? When you return to your wife, what image do you get into your head for your wife? This magazine is giving you a wrong motivation. And he looked at me and said, are you stupid? They thought I was a gay. See, are you stupid? No, sir. No, I'm not stupid. I enjoy my wife, I tell you. Oh, I enjoy my wife. But what are you doing this? What if a bomb come in and we blow up? And God catch you with this magazine rather than with the Bible. Oh, he laughed. He told everybody. But the chief officer, the captain, was a believer. And I started reading the Bible then. And the submarine. It's amazing. You live by faith. You just read the scripture and believe it. You live by faith and will free you from the circumstances around. Second thing I learned is in 1 Corinthians, you're in 2, go back to one book, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. This is the second thing I learned. I live my life by faith. I have to read what the scripture said, believe what it said. Don't change the words. If the Bible said that you serve the Lord's Supper. You know, somebody told me, there is no more Lord's Supper. I said, who told you that? See, I tell you that, but that doesn't mean anything. I said, well, God says so. Well, I read in 1 Corinthians 11, 26. He said, do this until I come. So I said, fellow, you're wrong. Don't drink wine in the morning. You know, it's just amazing. Be kind with the people. Be extremely kind with the people. God is kind with us. But we're firm with the principle. Now, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Look at what the Bible says. There is not, the King James had the word temptation. Periasmos is the word in the original language, which means a trial, an examination, all right? There is no examination taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be examined about that ye are able. I wish my teachers knew that. But will with the examination also make a way to escape that ye may be strong. You see what it is? God is saying, I always deal with you at the 11th hour. Like Esther. You think that's a case in history? That's a case every day. You go wrong, 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 wrong. God opened the door. All right? It's just amazing. Don't panic. God specializes at the 11th hour. Why at the 11th hour? Well, at the 11th hour, you say, I cannot do anymore. And say, all right, good. Now you're going to do what I said. Because when we can do something, we put the foot in front of God and we try to do what we want to. So God don't like that. And so the second principle I learned is this. God's working is not related to our clock. They are related to our crisis. God works with you and me, not in relationship to our clock and time, but in relationship to our crisis. All right? Third, this one you have to go to the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. All right? I give you time for you to look on it. Jeremiah 33. I want you to look to this. Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 7 to 9. The surprises in store for us are not merely peculiar or by chance. They are sovereign design. Everything that happened to us is sovereign design to make us closer to the image of Christ. I'll read it for you. Jeremiah, I said chapter 33 and verse 7 to 9. Look at what he says. This is at the end of the captivity, at the end of the 70 years captivity after God disciplined Israel for not celebrating the Passover. And look at what God said. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and I will build them as at the first, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, means sins, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me, and it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Now, see, God designed your life. Remember Ephesians 2:10? That we walk, we are beautifully made in the image of God, that we walk in the works he has made for us. When we violate his word, God disciplines us. Remember Hebrews chapter 12, he's a good father. If you're a good father, you discipline your children, all right? If you don't discipline your children, you are raising a barbarian. You know? So here is what it is. God is saying, here is the great surprise. You'll be surprised one day in this way, we'll be surprised in the other. But as long as you're doing God's will, God is designing things in a marvelous way. When I had to quit the radio on the year 2002, June 13th, I can't believe it myself. I was at a peak of 48,000 students in this school. I can't believe it myself. It was a real shock for a minute and a half. And then after that, I smiled. And I went to the president of the company and said, thank you so much for 29 years and 6 months of service. You gave me the opportunity to learn. And I thank you. I really thank you. And he thought I was going to maybe ask for money or ask for this or the other. He's from Holland, so they're dry. So I hugged him. And he said, you know, as a memory, I don't want anybody to use that office. I still have the key of my office and the radio. I still have the key. Of my office. Nobody can use it. So once a month, my wife and I go and visit. And forgiving the brother for his errors, but loving him in the name of God. And for some reason, mysterious to me, maybe I will know it, maybe I will not. I'm at peace with God of my job. I'm at peace with God with others. And I don't understand what God did, but I had to accept it, all right? We don't understand what God does sometime in our life, but we have to accept it. Because he's sovereign, and he has designed that moment for better me. Now that we don't have to drive 70 miles to Oakland and 70 miles back, we thank the Lord. When I used to drive, the gasoline was $2, now it's $3 a gallon. And then the traffic was, I can make it in 45 minutes. Now the other day we went, I said, let's see if I can do that the same. And I saw too many police cars around, so I had to go 1 hour and 15 minutes, all right? And the traffic, and I almost had an accident. So I said, that is good. And the good part is the ministry never ends. I still have 38,000 students studying from my books. Praise God, Mark Burney writes books. And praise God, our books speak for us, Mrs. Mark Burney, speak for us in a mighty way. And so God said, I have designed, I will bring Israel back. Imagine 70 years of misery in Iraq, and now he's going to bring Israel back, and I will do great things with them. So God sometimes squish you in order to shine you. So do not complain, will you? Do not complain. Say, God, I'm willing to be squished by you. Not by anybody else, but by you. All right? And let God shine on you. So what I learned about this chapter 7, in Mark chapter 10 is my summary, like I want to get the whole sermon in a summary, Mark chapter 10, verse 25, 26, and 27 is the whole sermon in a nutshell. Mark chapter 10, verse 25, 27, and 28. You know the passage as soon as you read it. It is easier, said Jesus, for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus looked upon them and said, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. You have somebody who is a brother, a sister, a son, a daughter, a husband, a wife who is an unbeliever. Don't give up, because with God is possible. You have a difficult situation in your work, a difficult situation in relation with somebody. Don't give up, because with God all things are possible. Just do what God said and watch God fulfilling His word. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that when we trust you, not only we merely know you theologically, we know you in reality. Our life changed because we know you. So, Father, bless our congregation. Bless the large congregation of the radio and internet, CD ministry, tape ministry, that after hearing your word, they may turn their life and trust with you. You know what you are doing. We just follow you. Oh, give us a heart to follow. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
So rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along. Where the waters cool flow bathes a weary one's feet, God leads His dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives us all. In the night season and all the day long. Though sorrows befall us and Satan oppose, God leads His dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads His dear children along. Some through the water, some through the blood, some through the fire, away from the mire, away from the clay,
please, for the benediction. Thank you very much. Lord, it's true. Sometimes through the fire, and then we see the light. I don't know personally the details of everybody, but from time to time we have difficulties and problems. And we pray, oh God, that you teach us to look up, to be patient, to know the hour that we need to act and to follow you. And above all, Father, that we may trust that with God, nothing is impossible. Esther was only one person in the entire kingdom. And because of her and your people, you took care of her. Lord, we are your people, and we know you take care of us. Help us to wake up and follow you all the way. In Jesus we pray. Amen.